Dear Heavenly Father, we are so privileged and honored to be able to come before your throne of grace this evening and to offer this prayer. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for you being a just God. Thank you for being a God that never changes and for being able to love us even at times when we have not loved you. Thank you, Lord, for you demonstrating on how much you have loved us and sending your Son to this world by making himself a propitiation on behalf of our sins, Lord. Thankful for the atoning power of his blood, that same blood that we come in contact with in baptism, that blood in which we're able to be added and reconciled back to you, Lord, to the Lord's church, your Son's church, the church of Christ. Lord, we pray that someone listening this evening is looking for the truth, that they're searching for what the truth is, that they've looked at what is transpiring in our world at this time, Lord, and they are desperately seeking the truth. Pray, Lord, that Brother Hayes give them the pure and unadulterated truth of your inspired word. Pray, Lord, someone is humble and sincere. Pray, Lord, that they receive this message this evening with meekness. Pray, Lord, that you bless us with the increase. In your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flounder. We are very grateful to have each and every person on the call tonight. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. To those who are on the call who are not members of the Church of Christ, you are very honored guests. You're the VIP of our call, and we want you to please pay attention to what our speaker will talk about as pertains to the saving of your precious soul. People are dying every day. We see that all over TV now with the COVID situation. But it was God who said, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, there will be a judgment. It was Jesus who said, he said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. We don't want to do that because we want to go to heaven. There's a doctrine out there, a baptism in Jesus' name only, that's a false doctrine. And I've asked Brother Ronnie Hayes, who is the minister of Adamsville Church of Christ, Adamsville, Alabama, one who I've grown to know and love by working with him in a campaign for Christ as well as in a seminar we both worked together. And Brother Hayes is very capable of dealing with this topic. And we ask everyone to please pay attention, take notes of the things he talked about as pertain to this topic. Brother Hayes, so what said the scripture about baptism in Jesus' name only? Tell us about that.
Thank you, Brother Tommy. It is a privilege for me to be back on this program, to have the opportunity to present God's word. And I want everyone who is listening this evening to understand that that is my responsibility, to present God's word. Not my opinion, not the opinion of other men. We're going to turn to the Bible. I hope you have your Bibles open, and I hope you have your Bibles ready. For about 20 minutes, we're going to look at the subject of baptism, and we're going to look in particular at the manner in which one is baptized. There is a teaching that is out there that it has to be in the name of Jesus only. And if that is true, then I don't understand many scriptures in God's inspired word. Let's build a foundation as we look at this. First of all, what are we talking about when we talk about baptism? It's from the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse, to plunge. It means to bury. Now, I said I'm going to let the Bible speak, so let's let the Bible answer this question. What is baptism? You know, some say sprinkling babies when they're born constitute baptism. Other will take a cup of water and pour it over the head of a child and say that's baptism. What does the Bible say? In Acts 8 and verse 38, when it is speaking of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, beginning back up in verse 35, we see that Philip taught eunuch about Jesus Christ. And they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. They stopped the chariot, And they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, that passage tells us one thing about baptism. It was necessary for them to go down into the water to perform the act of baptism. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul said, buried with him in baptism. Buried? Buried where? Well, we just learned from Philip and the eunuch that they went down into the water. So when you're baptized, you're plunged beneath the water. Sprinkling does not count. Pouring a cup of water over the head of a child does not count. But it is being buried. We don't lay a body on the ground and sprinkle a little dirt over that body and say they're buried. No, we dig a hole 6 foot deep and we put them and the casket and everything else in that, and then we cover them completely up with much dirt, not a little bit. In Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. The Bible defines baptism as a burial. That's not about it. That's it. Now you can argue all you want to, but that's what the Bible says. Well then, who should be baptized? That's a good question. A person who is a penitent believer, willing to confess the name of Jesus, is a candidate for baptism. In Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. John 8 and verse 24, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Some folks say infants can be baptized when they sprinkle that little water on their head. You tell me about a newborn child that has the ability to believe in the risen Savior. You tell me how a newborn babe has the ability to understand that he is a child of God and what a blessing that is. No, my friends, one who is to be baptized has to be a believer. And it's a believer that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He must also be willing to repent of his sins. Acts 2, verse 37 and 38. We read, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5 says, unless you repent, you're going to perish. So, one who is to be baptized believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has repented of his sin. That means he's turned away from them. He's not going to continue those things in his life. He's discontinuing them. He's cutting them off. That's repentance. He's also one who is willing to make that good confession, just as we saw of the Ethiopian eunuch who said in Acts the 8th chapter and in verse 37 that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How can an infant who cannot even speak make that good confession? How can children who cannot speak make that confession? The answer is they can't. Well, then let's get to this question about in the name of Jesus only. That that comes under the question of how should one be baptized. Now, I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to look in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in about verse 18, where it says that all authority, if you're reading from the King James Version, Jesus came and spake and said unto them, all power, all authority is the word, is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now, my friends, if the only baptism that is accepted is one who is baptized, and apparently, I've never witnessed someone be baptized in the name of Jesus only, so I really don't know what they say. But let me show you how to answer this false teaching. First of all, if the oneness theory that the name of Jesus is the only thing that can be said in baptism, then we have a contradiction in the scriptures. And you and I both know, or at least we should know, we should understand that the Bible does not contradict itself. Write it down, my friends. Put it on your heart. You need to see and understand this principle. The Bible does not contradict itself. Therefore, when it is said in Matthew chapter 28 and in verse 19, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that if we baptized in their names, then if Jesus' only name is the only name, you have a contradiction in the scriptures. When you reach a conclusion from your studies that contradicts the Bible somewhere else, my friends, you better go back and figure out where you messed up. The Bible has not messed up. The Word of God, the Hebrew writer said, is powerful. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Paul told Timothy that all scripture is inspired. It literally means it's God-breathed. How dare you or anyone else, how dare me say that the Bible contradicts itself? It does not contradict itself. This teaching is false, and this teaching is shown to be false by the fact that it contradicts the Word of God. Now, they love to go run to Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What does in the name of Jesus Christ mean? When you look at Thayer's lexicon on page 447, it says, in the name of Jesus or Christ means by his authority. And I find it interesting that he turns to Acts chapter 10 and in verse 48, another one of the passages that these Jesus-only people like to use, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Well, I got a question for you, folks. And we're going to come back to this authority situation in just a second. But there are only four passages that talks about baptizing in the name of the Lord and Savior. Acts 2 and verse 38 says, in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 8 and verse 16 says, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 10 and verse 48 says, in the name of the Lord. Acts 19 and verse 5 says, in the name of the Lord Jesus. The very fact that these are not uniform shows you that it is not a pattern. This is not what they said when they were baptizing these individuals. If you want to know the truth of the matter, the Bible doesn't say what was said in regards to the manner, the wording, the formula that was used to baptize someone. When I baptize someone today, I say in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. What's wrong with that? It includes Jesus Christ. It includes the Father, and it includes the Holy Spirit, which represent the Godhead. And they are one in purpose. I find it interesting. Now, let's go back to this concept of authority. I find it interesting that in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, King James Version says, all power. Other translations say, all authority is given unto me. Jesus Christ has the authority. Look at Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, what does that mean in the name? It means that Jesus Christ, God the Father and the Holy Spirit have authorized baptism for salvation. But it's not baptism only. You know, when I was a child here in Alabama, in some of these creeks, we'd have swimming holes. And I used to go swimming with a friend of mine who was 6'3" and he weighed 300 pounds, and I was about 6'4 or 6'5", and I weighed about 100 pounds soaking wet. I was tall and skinny, and that guy could grab me with one hand, and he could just plunge me underneath the water. Well, technically, that's a baptism. Did it mean anything? Absolutely not. Why? Because it wasn't by the authority of God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It was not authorized. But the Trinity, the Godhead, including Jesus Christ, has authorized this baptism for salvation. You look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. The like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. Isn't it interesting that in many of the accounts of conversion that you find in the book of Acts, one may say, he that believeth and is baptized. One may say, repent and be baptized. One might say, you must confess his glorious name, as we looked in Acts the 8th chapter. Which one verse tells you everything you need to know about salvation, about baptism, about how it's supposed to be administered? My friends, there's not one single solitary verse. But you know, the Bible, again, is its best own interpreter. It tells you how to use it. When you go back to Psalms 119, verse 160, the American Standard Version says, the sum of God's word is truth. Sum, that's when you add 2 plus 2, and you get the sum is 4. 1 plus 1 is 2. That's the sum. I have a grandson who started kindergarten this week. And he can already total 1 plus 1 and 2 plus 2. And he can get the sum. He can get the correct answer. Well, if you want to get the correct answer in regards to baptism, how it's to be administered, who should receive baptism, why they should be baptized, you have to turn to the Word of God. So, in His name simply means by His authority. I'll show you another passage. Take your Bibles and turn over to Colossians chapter 3 and look at verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Anyone who proclaims that the only thing that you can say at baptism is in Jesus' name has a problem. You don't live your life that way. And Colossians 3 and verse 17 says that you must, if you're going to interpret the passage that way. Do you open the door? And as you turn the doorknob, do you say, I turn the doorknob in the name of Jesus. I pull open the door in the name of Jesus. I take a step through the door in the name of Jesus. I close the door behind me in the name of Jesus. Well, if that's what in the name of Jesus means, then my friends, why do you not practice it? See, you don't even practice and believe what you teach if you believe that in the name of Jesus you have to say it for every word and for every deed. But what Colossians 3 and verse 17 says, if you'll keep it in the context and let the Bible define itself, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And then he skips down to verse 18. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands. Verse 19. Husbands, love your wives. Verse 20. Children, obey your parents. Verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children. Verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your master. Now, why is verse 17 stuck in the midst of all of these things that you're supposed to do? Well, I tell you why. Because what it says is, whatever you do, morally, physically, spiritually, whatever you do, when you get done with it, can you look up at the heavens? Can you look up at the name? Can you look up at Jesus Christ? And can you say, Jesus, do you approve of what I've done? Because that's exactly what that means. We do these things by His authority. Why do you go to church on the first day of the week? Because it's by the authority of the lawgiver, Jesus Christ. Why do you pray in His name? Because that's what we're told to do by the authority of the Word of God. Why do we sing and not use instruments of music? Because that's what God has authorized. Nothing more and nothing less. Now, my time is just about up. I want to just go back over these things and let's see if we can make them real clear. How do I know that in the name of Jesus only is a false doctrine? I know it because it does not conform to all of the scriptures. Which one scripture is the one? Which one should I use? The one that says, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord, or in the name of the Lord Jesus? Which one should I use? See, there's no uniformity there. It contradicts God's word, therefore it's a false doctrine. In His name means by His authority, nothing more or nothing less. When we do all in the name of the Lord, we're doing it because our Father has said, that's okay, you can do that. I'll give you one simple illustration, and then I will turn the service back over to Brother Tommy. And the illustration is this. If a policeman knocks on the door and says, "Open up in the name of the law," what does that mean? Well, if I'm the lawman, does that mean you open up in my name? No, it means open up because I have the authority given to me by the laws to demand that you open. That's authority. And when you look at the name of Jesus, that's what you're talking about. May God bless you in your study of God's Word.
Well, you did that. That's exactly what we wanted you to do. And I know I picked the right person to deal with this topic. Brother Hayes, you've done a great job. And very plain and simple. You don't even have to have a high school education to get this. You can be in elementary and understand 1 + 1 = 2. You understand what the Scripture is teaching. When one believes the Bible, they have no problem with Matthew 28:18 and understand by authority of Jesus, we do everything we do in the New Testament. If you're on the call today and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we wanted you to hear this, and you need to be baptized. That baptism he talked about all through this lesson is the one that will save you, baptized by the authorized by Jesus. We talked about that one baptism. If you want to be baptized for the remission of your sins and be added to that one true church, we talked about all this is authorized by Jesus. Now, my friends, you can't go to heaven until you start believing the Bible. It's absolutely 100% right. Now, if you're on the call tonight and you're one of those who believe that, then what we want you to do is get back with the person who put you on the call, who invited you, a member of the church who invited you to this call. They wanted you to hear this. They wanted you to hear the truth, as we're saying tonight. And everything we're saying, we speak the truth in love. We don't say that to be mean. But we must stand boldly with God and stand on his behalf and speak for him and for his son who suffered on the cross and shed the blood and washed his sins away in baptism and purchased his church, the bride, the church of Christ. And that's why we're saying these things. Now, so if you want to say, well, I like to study more with Brother Hayes or Brother Brooks or any of the preachers that have been on our call, we'll get you in touch with them. Just email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Or perhaps you want to go back and listen to it. You want to write notes, take down the things that Brother Hayes has talked about tonight, and go back and search the Scripture for yourself. Be like the Bereans. They were more noble than those that doesn't like it. So they search the Scripture daily. Go back and search the Scriptures. Listen to these sermons. You can rewind them, stop and replay it, and listen to it over and over. You go to our website. That's the HollandHeightsCoc.net. It's on the World Wide Web, www.HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's net. If you go there, you go to our sermons, go to Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. All the flyers are there. You see a picture of Brother Hayes, and his sermon will be right by his flyer. All you got to do is download and listen to it. And then make the decision to obey the gospel. Obey the truth, or it's eternally too late. That's what we want you to do. Let us pray to God about it. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for loving the world. Thank you for giving your greatest gift to the world, and that is your son. He gave his gift, life. He died on that cross. And he was saying to us that greater love there no man than this. And he would lay down his life. And yes, he called us his friends. All the sinners were his friends, even the ones who killed your son. And we thank you for him. We thank you for the blood that will wash our sins away in baptism. And we thank you for the church for which he purchased. We thank you for your book we call the Bible, your word, the Scripture. It gives us clarity and teaches us what you want us to do. If we simply believe it, we have no problem. And Father, we just pray for our listening audience that they will believe it, that they will obey it before they die. We ask you to give them time, Father. We pray that you'll be with them, that their hearts will be open to receive this truth and obey it before the eternal and everlasting too late. Thank you for Brother Hayes, for all of our preachers who stand boldly and preach your truth without addition or subtraction of fear of man. And we love you for giving us the opportunity to be your men servants and earthen vessels to carry your word to the world. Be with us, Father. Continue to bless our efforts through this program. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you for listening tonight. Tune in tomorrow night as we close out. Brother Donald Warner from San Diego, California, the gospel of your salvation. Oh, don't miss that call. Close your week out with us, 9 to 9:30, in the comfort of your home. We'll bring a preacher in there, and you can hear the word preached. I pray you can sleep well. But you know what? When a person is not saved, they'll never be at peace. I hope you have a good night. Rest in the Lord. Good night.